Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Hey everyone, this is your host Tim Rutten. Welcome to part two of our series with Abdullah Al-Wabel, Head of Digital Banking and Innovation at BSF. In this final episode, we go deeper into BSF's digital transformation journey and unpack Abdullah's perspective on AI, where he sees immediate opportunities, how BSF is taking a practical outside-in approach, and what it might take to bring AI into core banking processes. Enjoy. Moving back to the platform and then what's actually in the customer's hands today, how did you, let's say, prioritize the overall work? If I'm hearing you correctly, you basically said, hey, we went pretty big on it. We took 1.5 years of effort to match the old scope, but then enrich it even further. Mm-hmm. Were there any specifics that you doubled down on and said, hey, this is really the main part of the journey or the main part for ROI capture?
One principle we followed all along since the beginnings, and I probably mentioned that during selection, we always put our options on the table. We always put, what we needed to do on the table. And then we kind of cross-checked where things intersect and made, more sense. So I'll give you an example. Oftentimes, you might have a conflict between, introducing the right user experience or the right design versus, adhering to a regulation, for example. When we put all of these, what we thought initially were limitations or, obstacles to introduce a better user experience, when we put them on the table and then we put what we, and we listed what we wanted to do or the ideas that we thought would work better to satisfy our customers, we found a lot of areas of intersection. I'll give you an example. One of our regulations, especially after the whole counter-fraud framework was established by the central bank, was to introduce a capability for the digital platform to digitally authenticate any transaction, not only using the OTP, right? So when we took that and we said, when I want to do a login through, for example, my web application, back before we implemented the new platform, we had issues because one, you had to always register the device that you used to log in, right? In the case of web, the variables that you use are always changing, right? It's not as simple as when you do it for the mobile app, you have a device ID, then you know, this is a trusted and authenticated device. But when you use it on the web, the PC sometimes, the IP address sometimes change, other variables usually change. And that then gives the indication to the platform that this is not the same device that the customer used, hence you need to do an authentication, right? So we say this is giving our customers a lot of difficulty, a lot of, friction. And the authentication bit is very difficult. You had to get an IVR callback. You had to be limited to two devices only, et cetera, et cetera. So when we looked at the platform, one of the key functionality was to approve a web login using the mobile device. The beauty about this is you do not have to implement any of the counter-fraud regulation on the web because, you have the trusted device as the main authenticator. So that silo between the two platforms is no longer there. That means the web automatically inherits every control that you put in the mobile application. And in addition to that, customers no longer have to put an OTP when they log in, which is an additional, which is a very massive cost to the bank. So we've hit three birds with one stone. One is we adhere to the regulation. Two, we saved a lot of money. Three, and we gave the customers a better user experience. Yeah. So this is one of the example of the things that we focused and prioritized on. Areas of, intersection between regulation, customer experience, and the bank interest or, the financial interests. Another example would be, being able to sell to the customer how they want to be sold, and the way I mean, and by this I mean educating the customer about the product, and giving that more priority than just, you know, positioning the entry point, right?
Yeah.
And I think the way the platform was built gave us a lot of cool ways to introduce that as well. Overall, we prioritized customer experience, adherence to regulation, and then financial gain, all at the same time. We did not have to compromise any of those a lot. So that gave us that was a very interesting and very beautiful thing to see, actually.
Yeah. And especially if they're balanced out, because otherwise you get a nice app, but it's maybe not compliant to the regulation.
But in this case, the good user experience gave us the ability to adhere to the regulation and gave us the ability to save money.
Great example. We're going to the last part of the episode. Right now, the world is buzzing with AI.
Yeah.
Globally, but also in the regions, we see this conversation everywhere and anywhere. As an example, this week it's Money 2020 in Amsterdam. For those who are following us on the channels, we've been pretty active. We did a few activations. We took over all billboards in Amsterdam with a message, the bold message of Backbase being a player in this industry and fully positioning itself on the AI wave. What is your latest view on AI being applied in banking? And are there any specifics that, let's say, use cases that you are currently either actively exploring or even putting into production today, whatever you're willing to share?
Right. I think we are at a very interesting point. We're definitely at a crossroads kind of situation. I think AI is significantly going to disrupt many industries, and banking is no exception of that. Now, the question would be, what would be the best way to introduce that disruption, right? And in my view, you can always start from outside and all the way to, you know, the deepest or to the more, you know, banking services or processes. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. Recently, we've seen the launch of Veo.
Google Veo, yeah.
And I immediately thought, if I was the, you know, chief of marketing in my bank, I would immediately, you know, buy the license and start, you know, creating visuals using Veo. This is, first of all, doing this gives you the ability to learn very quickly without being entangled by the risks associated with quickly implementing such new technology as AI into very core, you know, processes within the organization, right? So now I've also away from all of the security controls, you know, regulations and or obstacles put to control such a thing. So instead of, you know, saying I want to, you know, introduce AI to, you know, better assess a credit assessment process, or for example, to better, you know, onboard my customer to buy a personal loan, start with these sort of processes, you know, gain some knowledge in that. You know, experiment with the technology, see its value, as well as you're going to save a lot, believe it or not, you're going to save a lot of money doing that, because you can automate and digitize so many unnecessary operations. So similar to marketing, for example, you can do the same thing about when it comes to, you know, single tasks that your employees do. Recently, we've tasked a small, you know, young group of people to look at every task that anyone in the bank does, whether it's from the CEO all the way to the, you know, to the smallest role, and come up with a list of tasks that you can outsource to an artificial intelligence solution. And surprisingly, it was so much. And the time associated with those tasks was, you know, months. So I'll give you an example, especially in the world of, you know, software, right? A lot of software development lifecycle steps can be eliminated. Not eliminated, but outsourced to AI, starting with actually defining the proposition itself. You know, you can quickly give the AI solution your idea and tell it to write user stories. Test scenarios, acceptance criteria, you know, it can even do prototypes for you to do your usability testing. These activities used to take days and weeks for us in one single change or one single, you know, product. Now you can do that within minutes. So the impact is going to be significant and huge. If you notice, we're still not implementing AI within the, within the banking products, services, operations itself. We're not introducing it deep into how we bank with our customers. And still, and so far, saved a lot of money, saved a lot of energy, saved a lot of time. We increased efficiency, etc. So my view is start from outside and close in as you learn and as you make more sense of the technology, yeah. Right? The minute you reach that realization throughout this outside in movement, you can always leapfrog and immediately tackle your complex processes with AI powered solutions. Yeah.
What would it take on your, let's say, from your perspective, to move AI into core processes of the bank? Background for that question is, we're seeing a lot of agentic AI being introduced into the world at large. Of course, from my seat, being the CMO of Backbase, agentic AI is a very big thing in the marketing column because it allows for smart automation, intelligent automation to understand your customer, the accounts, where they move, where they don't, how to engage with them at scale versus blowing up your organization with a lot of people that do a lot of manual stuff. And it's little harmful to the business, right? It's on the marketing end. To your point, it's almost an easy starting point. But if you move to the core process of, let's say, Backbase developing software, Backbase running the platform for you on the cloud, Backbase analyzing your customer data and preparing, you know, insights and giving advice to your customers on your behalf, that's the core process that we moved into now, which is quite a frontier move. Mm-hmm. What would it take on your end for BSF to similarly move through that door? Is it the regulation that's holding you back? Is it maybe another transformation you need to do first to get all the data in place? Like, where's your current thinking, if you're willing to share?
I think it's a collection or multiple things at the same time. I think our understanding of the technology and the implications of adopting it, right? As you know, one of the, you know, obstacles in the, especially in the early days when it comes to AI, is the high computing power that it required. Now, if you had just blindly adopted the technology at the time, you know, without thinking or considering this could have introduced, you know, unnecessary bad experience, right? So I think one is understanding the technology and its implications, positive and negative, and being able to, you know, address those. Two, linking it to a tangible metric of evaluation, whether it's financial or customer related. And I think, you know, that is something that we should not lose sight of all the time. Yes, it's often intuitive to think, you know, more AI, more less cost, but maybe not always, right? So the minute that you make sure that this is actually a true statement, I think that will be a deciding factor. Three, surely regulation would be a helpful thing to also get along the way, because the minute your regulator is supportive of such transformation, it gives you the flexibility and the freedom to adopt it, and us having a very, you know, a very ambitious central bank often leading the charge through transformation, I don't think this would be something that's difficult to get.
You could also imagine that there's potential to collaborate with the regulator. Okay, these are the use cases we're looking into. Currently, there's no clear guidance or mandate. Let's basically collaborate to a degree. At least I do hear of some regulators that are very closely involved,
right,
to co-create, which I think is it's a given. Given also that the technology moves very fast.
Yeah.
To your point, if you would have embraced AI, let's say a year ago, the cost would be tremendous,
right,
because the tokens were just very expensive.
Right.
Fast forward to today, actually, that's not an issue anymore. The real issue now becomes guardrails, making sure that the AIs or the LLMs don't go, you know, overboard, which will consume a lot of tokens and a lot of cost.
Yeah.
Meaning it's more about what guardrails do you set, how do you prompt, how do you efficiently give context to the agent to not, you know, do 10 rounds for 20 hours, but basically get context, then execute and do it very efficiently.
Yeah.
So I think the space is moving super fast, which is also very exciting, I would say. But thanks for sharing your view on where the industry is today. We're going to wrap up, Abdullah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and summarize a few of the key items that we discussed. Of course, we talked a little bit about the context in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. I think a key insight there that you shared was the 2030 vision North Star from the government, really helpful to connect to and drive urgency across the board. I think it's really interesting to see that the government raises the bar, right? I'd love to see that in the Netherlands as well, but we'll not dive into that from here. Then the lessons that you shared, what I'm taking from it is, number one, future-proof your technology stack, right? And that ranges from the core to the middleware to the overall banking platform that drives your channels, that drives your APIs, that drives both the client view as well as the employee view or the banker view. And you went for a complete revamp all the way, which I think is very bullish, very bold. Before you made that decision, you looked into a buy versus build trade-off. Right, and that buy versus build dilemma, you decided in two or three steps. One, can the party that we're going to evaluate grow with us?
Mm-hmm.
And is the partnership allowing us to go long term?
Mm-hmm.
Which clearly was a deciding factor for you. And how much can we adopt to drive time to market? Because that's the thing that sets it apart, yes or no? In terms of implementing, you shared drive an MVP to go live. Contain the scope, adopt as much as you can, and go for still an ambitious scope that serves your business potential or the ambition that you have while connecting to the other programs that you were driving, just like the core modernization and the middleware that you had in flight. But mostly what stood out to me, Abdullah, was the urgency to transform, the focus, the leadership being fully supportive to really make the change and basically be involved all the time from the C-suite and the CEO onwards, all the way downstream into the different teams that were collaborating clearly. And then maybe finally, the quality of people. Like, put the right people in the right task with the right crafts and capability to really make progress. Anything that you would highlight or, let's say, double click on once more from your experience that you feel is really the takeaway, right? If you think about our audience, bankers like yourself, yeah, in the hot seat, what would you give to them to drive home?
The reason for all of this to take place the way we wanted it to do within the timelines that we wanted them, we wanted it to happen in, is the level of ownership that the bank had put in throughout this journey. Yes, we dependent on our partners, but it was the right level of dependence. We did not really outsource everything. We made sure that, because even your partners would always love to, they want you to be as engaged as them, if not more, because at the end of the day, if you don't want it the most, it's not going to happen. So in the case of us, we wanted it more than any other partner that was working with us, and we really wanted it to happen, and that made a tremendous impact. So I would always advise, if you really want to embark on this complex exercise, make sure that you have the people, the right people in place who will make sure that the ownership is there at the maximum level throughout the entire journey. And it's not fluctuating, because it's very, very important.
The right level of urgency, the right intensity. So basically being genuinely committed to the transformation, from the top to the bottom, to the partners you work with, but basically you set the pace. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Abdullah, thank you so much for sharing your insight of the journey that you've been on. Many more things to come, of course, from here. So hopefully we can reconnect in half a year or maybe a year and check in again where you guys are.
Always thank you for having me. It's been definitely a very beautiful conversation. It puts me through a lot of beautiful memories. So it's always good to, look back and retro, right? Because sometimes when you're living your BAU, it's very difficult to stop and see what you have done. But through conversations like this, you get to remember some of those, stories remember the lessons and make sure that you always keep them close to you when similar future endeavors happen. So thank you for the chance.
Most welcome. Thanks for sharing. For the listeners, if you want to follow Abdullah, find him on LinkedIn, Abdullah Al-Wabel. And of course, stay tuned for more updates in the coming months and years as he progresses in the transformation he's driving.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.